This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton. Today on Turnbuckle Trash, Zane and Ajay join me as we discuss the lives of four different wrestling legends who have passed away within the last couple of weeks. Also, we take a look back at the Elimination Chamber. We'll have news from the wrestling world, including a blurred official, a new member of the Bullet Club, and more, all on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
Well, Zane joins me right now, and Zane, the wrestling world lost Chavo Guerrero Sr. He passed away recently at the age of 68. Now, Chavo Sr. was part of the Guerrero family with the father, Gory, and his brothers, Mondo, Hector, and Eddie. Chavo held numerous singles titles and tag championships in the NWA, and also became the oldest performer to win the WWE Cruiserweight title when he was in his 50s. Now, Chavo Sr. last appeared in the ring in Lucha Underground with his son, Chavo Jr., and Rey Mysterio Jr. Now, if you'll remember that, Zane, that was a match that I called as the match of the year for my favorite of 2016.
You know, any time we lose somebody that's had such a large influence on, you know, the industry, it's just hard. And you know, and these guys, I know that liver cancer is something that, you know, necessarily can't be avoided, but I'm sure the toll that he put on his body over the years didn't help either.
Well, the Guerrero family is just legendary, especially in Texas and Lucha, in the Luchadors in Mexico. Legendary. I mean, we know Eddie is a legend in the WWE. We know Chavo was great in the WWE and more. But when you're talking Chavo Sr. and Hector and their father, they were there when wrestling was so small, and then it really exploded under their tutelage. So that was a real loss for the wrestling world.
Ajay, you have thoughts about Chavo Sr. and the Guerreros?
Just the Guerrero family in itself. I mean, that's a household name when it comes to the sport of wrestling. People know the Guerrero family in a good way. Obviously, Eddie Guerrero was a huge part of that. Vicky Guerrero was a very cognizant part of the for females, or for the woman. In that she was a general manager of either Raw or SmackDown, and she had a huge impact in matches and such, and that was huge for that. I never knew Senior.
Yeah,
honestly, I never watched him until the 2016. What you declared as the match of the year for 2016, that incredible, and I love how you put it, pay-per-view style match.
It was awesome. And then we also lost George the Animal Steel. Now, George the Animal Steel passed away earlier this week when we were recording this. And you knew a little bit more about the Animal because you were really starting to watch when he was doing some of his stuff earlier, right?
They used to show show matches every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on ESPN Classic. This is back in like 97, 96. Uh-huh. And every time, every Saturday they showed it, they always had a match. of George.
Oh, he was
awesome.
And
the best part of it, the part that I always fell in love with, this is kind of weird, but he'd always chew up that corner turnbuckle pad. And he had that green tongue. He was infatuated with that pad. It was funny. We were actually doing the, on the big show, I was on remote with Spence and Gordon. And
on 1280 The Zone in Salt Lake City, by the way.
Yeah, tune in every 3 to 6. So we have what we call a non-sports report, but of course, you know, wrestling's in there. And Gordon mentions George passing away. And Spence, and Gordon's describing what George looks like because he was unique. Because George had hair everywhere.
Everywhere.
Except his head. And so Spence kind of looks at him like, everywhere. And Gordon's like, no, really, everywhere. And so Spence kind of looked at me like, full of crap. And I was like, no, he's right. He had it everywhere. It toes all the way up to the broad of his shoulders.
He was a hairy man.
I loved old school wrestling. In fact, let me ask you a quick question.
Okay.
Because, George was an old school wrestler, slobber knocker kind of guy.
Yes, he was. Very physical.
You know what's amazing about George is how smart he was. He graduated from Central Michigan University.
Right.
He was an actor in the in that classic film, what's it called?
Ed Wood.
Bill Murray, Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm missing one more. Who is
Johnny
it?
Depp.
Johnny Depp.
And I should have looked this up. Martin Landau played Bela Lugosi in that, and he won an Academy Award for his portrayal.
Yeah.
In that, and if you have never seen that movie, it is really quirky. It is really strange, but it's one of those quirky, strange, you can't take your eyes off the screen. Bill Murray eats up the screen in this movie. And so does George the Animal Steel.
Who George is actually playing a wrestler, if I'm not mistaken.
He played back when Ed Wood was doing all these B movies like Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is one of the worst movies ever made, but it's a very cult movie now. There was a wrestler, and I'm trying to remember his last name. I think it was went by Thor or Tor, I think it was. And he looked a lot like George the Animal Steel. Bald head, big, burly guy. And they always had him play like zombies or monsters. And he was friends with Ed Wood and Bela Lugosi and all these real live people. So when I heard that they were casting George the Animal Steel in this role, I just went, that is perfect casting. Because he looked so much like him. He already had the ability to tell a story on camera. It's a great movie. Ed Wood is one great movie. Like I said, it's quirky, it's strange, but it's one of my all-time favorites.
I remember him from some of his later stuff with, when they would do the old school Raws and things like that, and George would always come out and bite the turnbuckle. But honestly, I did not watch a lot of his previous stuff back in his younger years, so you would know more about him, so tell me your thoughts on George the Animal.
Well, I looked some things up online about this, and I didn't realize he began his professional wrestling career in 1967. So he's been around for a long time. And as a heel, I remember him a little bit battling Bruno Sammartino Jr. and the old WWWF. But the time that you would probably remember, and most people would probably remember him, was the Beauty and the Beast storyline when he fell in love with Miss Elizabeth and had the matches with Randy Macho Man Savage. WrestleMania 2, by the way, he wrestled the Macho Man there, and then he was part of he was actually in Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's corner at WrestleMania 3 and what is called one of the greatest matches of all time.
Now that you say that, I remember that because I've gone back and watched WrestleMania 3 a lot of times. It's one of my favorite.
Was a big part of that early era when wrestling just boomed with Hulk Hogan and everything. He was a big part of that.
Yeah, anytime we lose, like I said before, we lose a competitor and a legend like that, it's hard. It's sad. You know, and you feel for their families. You really gotta think of their families.
His real name was William James Myers. And he also taught school at a high school outside of Detroit, Michigan. And he had dyslexia. And he, despite that, he still got a master's degree from Central Michigan University. So that man was
he was one of those Renaissance men that, despite his handicap, he did great for himself.
Nicole Bass. Do you know much about Nicole Bass?
Nicole Bass didn't have a long run in the WWE. You said you remember her from ECW?
Yeah, I remember her a little bit from ECW. Honestly, the most I remember her from is her appearances on the Howard Stern show. Pretty ruthless to her, but they think, even though they were ruthless to her, I think they still respected her career and stuff like that. So,
well, she was involved in a lawsuit with the WWE.
Yeah.
After she was brought up in the WWE for WrestleMania 20, I think it was, she was brought up as a bodyguard for Sable, if you'll remember that. But she only lasted a couple of months before she was let go, and she sued the WWE. But WWE actually won that lawsuit. But, you know, she died at a very young age, at the age of 52. She was a professional bodybuilder. Her husband had passed away recently, and she was really having to struggle. I do not have a cause of death, and I don't want to speculate on that, but she had been struggling a lot with the death of her husband, too. So we find out on Saturday afternoon that Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear, had also passed away. But what's going on? I mean, we're losing all these great old wrestlers all of a sudden.
So you were telling me about Ivan Koloff. I saw a post on Facebook. Tell me your story. I gave you a book as a parting gift. Why don't you tell me?
Yeah, you gave me
that.
A book called Wrestling with God. Now, this is stories of these professional wrestlers and their personal relationship with God, and some of the stuff that they had gone through throughout their lives. And I'm almost through with it. Ivan Koloff was chapter number 9, and there are 10 chapters. So I was reading about this last night. And so when I found out on Saturday afternoon that Ivan Koloff had passed away, I was absolutely just floored that I read about his life last night. And I read in this book, Wrestling with God, that he is not really a Russian.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
So that was just a ring name, or is that his real name?
His name is Jim Paris. He was born in Nation River Valley, Ontario, so it was in Canada. And when he became a professional wrestler, he actually changed his name to Ivan Koloff. And if you remember, when Ivan Koloff, towards the end of his career, they brought in his nephew, Nikita Koloff, who is a no relation to him at all, and Nikita Koloff actually changed his name to Nikita Koloff, and his story is also in this book.
Just a little, I remember that just a little bit, but so what did you find out in the book about him? And tell us what's something that stuck out to you about him?
Well, that his family was really, really poor when he was growing up, but he would actually go to a neighbor's house to watch professional wrestling in Canada. And as a lot of people thought in those days, he thought it was a shoot. And he didn't realize the entertainment aspect of it as he became a pretty good athlete and he worked out more and more and more, that he was asked to train as a wrestler. And he went to his first live matches, I believe it was his first one, as a guest of his trainer in Canada. And he thought that the bad guys were beating up on his mentor. He thought it was a shoot, and he actually went over and started clubbing on the guys and was beaten up before he was taken out. You know, and but they still let him train. And
that is something else.
Yeah. Of course, when they decided to do the Russian gimmick, you know, he was one of the great heels of all time.
I don't know a lot about Ivan Koloff. I know, like I've told you before, when I started getting into professional wrestling, I used to go to Hastings and rent the old WWF pay-per-views. They had them on VHS and stuff that you could rent. And you know, so I used to rent those and watch some of the older stuff back in, you know, the Hogan days. Because when I really started getting into wrestling was during the Attitude Era and the WCW when it was in its highlight. And I remember seeing Ivan in some of those matches and some of those old pay-per-views that I used to rent.
Well, you know, probably about that time, he's towards the end of his wrestling career. And, but I was just looking in this book that you gave me, and it comes up with kind of like a bio. His very first match that he ever really competed in was against the great Bruno Sammartino.
So, of course,
he lost, but so that is unreal that his first match.
So one thing I want to touch on, Dave, is in this book, so did he convert to Christianity or what?
Yeah, his story in the book was basically that his professional nephew, Nikita Koloff, had been basically, you know, kind of Christian all of his life, but had become involved in the ministry. And Nikita had actually asked him to come to a church meeting, and things weren't going well in his life, and he actually converted to Christianity and became a very religious man, started reading the Bible every day. And the book is really good if you have religious leanings to hear the story, to read the stories of these men and the lifestyle that they were living. And especially during the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of abuse of alcohol and drugs, and they didn't take care of themselves quite as much as they do today.
You hear old Jake Snake in that documentary that he did. He talked about that was how he was able to compete, was cocaine. He would snort a line of cocaine and just be completely blitzed as he was coming down the entry, the entryway, and he wouldn't even remember matches, because he was so high.
Still perform at that height. So we've lost three legendary performers and one who was a very good performer who didn't last long in the ring. But all within, once again, you've lost George the Animal Steel, Chavo Guerrero Sr. You've also lost Nicole Bass and now Ivan Koloff. So we're going to play the bells for all four.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
You can download them from the website, or you can, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the Elfers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
So. Gosh, well, let's move on to something a little more positive. My goodness, so much gloom this week, Dave.
Yeah, there's a lot. Let's move on now on Turnbuckle Trash to the Elimination Chamber. Did you get to watch the pay-per-view?
I watched the pay-per-view. Good, what a good, solid pay-per-view. You know, man, whoever's producing and running SmackDown right now, if it really is Shane, he's doing a great job. I don't know, is Shane just a television character? Is he really involved with it?
You know, I don't know what the answer is, but to me, SmackDown storylines and with all the things that are going on, I like it better than Raw.
You know, every match seemed to be just a good match. You know, I was sitting watching it, as we mentioned before, I took a new job, so we're doing our podcast via the satellite. Is that what they say in the day? We're joining Dr. Dave now via satellite. So
actually doing this on the internet. So
gotta figure out alternative ways. But as I was sitting by myself in our new pad, watching the pay per view, I kept thinking to myself, you know, that was a good match, man, and just one right after another. You know, I don't know if anything I saw was like uber spectacular, over the top, you know, but just good, solid matches.
Yeah, like Becky Lynch and Mickie James. Mickie James,
yeah,
hasn't missed a beat since TNA days. I mean,
no, she
just looks great
in the ring, you know. And it's I loved her in TNA. I know they bring these competitors back like that to help push younger talent and stuff. And that was that's a good move by the WWE on that one, because she is good.
Yeah, they had them going at it again on SmackDown, the two competitors, Becky Lynch and Mickie James. And Mickie used that, you know, that veteran wile. She faked an injury and then got the win over Becky Lynch this time on SmackDown. Just great, you know, it's great storytelling. That's all it was. I mean, and she's doing such a good job. I'm really glad to have her back.
That's a good point you had right there. It's great storytelling. I mean, the way some of the moves were sold and stuff. It was a good, solid match. So.
And then one of our favorites, I mean, you and I have just been big fans of this guy since day one, Dolph Ziggler, the handicap match with Kalisto and Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm. He really is. I don't really care for this feud right now. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, should we veer off now or should we veer off later?
We can veer off now. We'll veer.
We gotta veer. Talk to me about Apollo Crews. What do we do with him? You know, he's a good, he's got a great look. He's got, you know, he's pretty good. He cuts a decent promo. Do we push him or do we let him be as a mid-carder? What are we doing with him right now?
You know, that's one of the problems when they bring somebody up from NXT. What do they do with them? I would think Crews would be a great member of a tag team, you know, like, you know, they have with America Alpha. I would say get him together with some sort of veteran and then make him form a tag team and then have the veteran turn on a Crews so they could have a...
Who can compete with Apollo Crews? Great, big, solid-looking guy like that. You know, you got to be careful who you put him up against. You know, you don't want to put him necessarily up against a little guy like Kalisto for too long. That would just be a silly... but who do we feud him with? You know, what we need? We need more heels. What if, I mean, would that give him a heel turn and let him, I don't know. We need more heels. Yeah.
Because he's kind of floundering.
I'm a little disappointed. It's kind of the same thing over and over again with Dolph Ziggler, you know. They get him right up there next to the top, right there with the championship in right there at his fingertips, and pull the rug right out from underneath him. Dolph Ziggler and The Miz put on a rock solid frickin' matches, dude.
Oh man, did they ever?
Man, and I don't know. You know, I'm so glad that The Miz is in the main event lately. Man, I'm just glad to see that. And I want Dolph Ziggler to be right there with him, because those are two. Dolph's always been one of my favorites.
You know, that would be a pretty good tag team together as a heel tag team if they could work out some kind of little gimmick for it.
Really would. So back on the subject.
When John Morrison and The Miz teamed together, they were awesome together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the match was won by Kalisto and Apollo Crews after Kalisto was attacked, and he makes the comeback and is 2-on-1. Yeah. I didn't like the finish, but I liked the match.
It was pretty well predicted. You could see the writing on the wall that Dolph was going to lose that one.
Yeah, as soon as he attacked Kalisto at the beginning, and then Dolph attacked both of them afterwards and put the chair shot on Apollo Crews' ankle, which, you know, they're setting up something there. I just haven't been able to figure that out, so I'm sure that they'll figure that out before WrestleMania.
They really are using Dolph to put over a lot of this younger talent. I mean, like, they used him with Baron Corbin almost was fail, you know, with Baron Corbin, and they just kept putting him over and putting him over and putting him over. And it's like, come on, guys, let's give Dolph more of a chance, you know?
And I think it would be a good thing to have one of the lady wrestlers kind of, you know, almost be like his valet like they used to do, but kind of hook up with him and come out to the ring with him and do some cheating and stuff. That would be
good to see Dolph, though, smash Apollo Crews' ankle. You know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
violence. I got to say, I loved the tag team turmoil. You've got, you know, the Usos and America Alpha are the two biggies in that group right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought every tag team except for Breezando or whatever they call themselves was very, very solid.
What do you think about the Usos with no gimmick, just being dudes? You okay with that, or I like it too. It's interesting to see them because you're so used to seeing them come out and as the Polynesian, you know, we're doing the dance and doing the representing the culture, but it's kind of nice to see them just being the gangsta, you know?
Yeah.
A little different.
Just being bad.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. And there was a great scene.
I'm really big on American Alpha right now.
So oh, really?
I'm really enjoying them. I think they're doing really good. I don't know who to compare them to, but I like Jason Jordan. He was kind of one of those ones that he did good down in NXT, but they didn't know what to do with him.
Right.
So I was hoping that the Ascension would sure do more, but I was kind of, you know, they squashed them again.
Yeah. But they have a great look. I just can't figure out. I guess they just decided that nobody really wants them to be, you know, big time right now. I don't know if they've done something backstage or they just think that they're, you know, good enhancements for the tag teams that they are having up against. But I thought their work over the last month or so has been really good when they've been in the ring, but they just can't get a push. Did you like JBL changing his mind all the time who was going to win it? Every time somebody was getting ready to look like they were going to win it. That's my pick to win the tag team turmoil right there. That American Alpha. Yeah. No, I think it's the Usos are going to win. That's who I picked.
He sure does a good job. He sure does a good job at antagonizing. I sure like Mauro Ranallo, man. He does such a good job calling those matches. I like him so much better than Michael Cole. Man.
Well, I think it comes from he tells the story better, mm-hmm. and he gets that excitement in his voice. You know?
He's always talking about that enziguri kick.
mm-hmm. Did you like the Nikki Bella?
I just don't like the Bellas, dude.
But you got to admit, Natty's doing a great job as a heel.
Yeah, she is. She's doing good. I just don't like the Bellas.
I thought it was interesting how Natty really got the crowd going. She got up in her face, and she was yelling about John Cena, never going to marry her. Then she looks out in the crowd, and she sees Nikki's mom, and she yells at Nikki's mom. She yells at the crowd, and... But the match itself ended in a double count out, which I thought was, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, that was
kind of the easy way to get out. So
kind of, like you said, kind of eh. You know what I think was hard for me in that match was Natty is so much better of a competitor than Nikki is. And here you've got Natty doing real legitimate mat work. And Nikki just, like, was almost lost against her.
We go back to JBL. JBL, and I wrote this down when he did it because I laughed out loud. JBL said at one point of the match when Natty had the upper hand, he says, "There's nothing better than beating someone up in front of their family."
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yes, he's got a point, doesn't he?
We move on a little bit with Orton and Luke Harper. Luke Harper as a face, who'd have thunk it, you know?
Yeah, that's a little different. That's a little different, yeah. Isn't it? It was good.
Harper just doesn't have the look of a baby face, but the crowd's really getting into him. So
yeah, they like him, and seems to be pulling it off pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what else are they going to do with him if he's not in the Wyatts? You can't feud with the Wyatts forever. So it'd be nice to see him go against the Demon. He could go have a little feud against the Demon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he is the Demon on Raw or SmackDown.
SmackDown roster. Don't quote me on that one. But there was a development today. Uprocks.com says that Vince McMahon wants to do something to bring AJ Styles over to Raw. And I think he's trying to balance out that roster a little bit because SmackDown, to me, has the better competitors, the ones the crowd really gets into more.
I hope they don't because I think he fits better with the SmackDown roster. You know, because without him, you know, who else would we have as a – we got John Cena. But I really think people are getting tired of Cena. I respect the hell out of him. But he has gotten so old. You know, he does have a few moves that he's improved on, but just the same old stuff.
He's not a part-time competitor like Brock Lesnar. But he's going to be coming and going. You know, he'll be gone for a couple of months while he's either doing a movie or a TV project or something.
Yeah.
He'll be gone for a few weeks, as that. And he's a busy, busy man right now, I'll tell you that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So
Orton wins against Luke Harper. I thought it was a good physical. It was a slower pace match, but that's the kind of action those two go for. Is a little slower pace with more clotheslines and high-impact moves and not the high flying, but it was a good match. Then the SmackDown Women's Champion, Naomi versus Alexa Bliss. And Alexa Bliss came out of nowhere to win that championship. She's a smaller competitor, but she works the mic so well. She is such a great heel.
She is a great heel. She's probably one of the best heels right now, I would dare say. She's got a good look too, you know. She just doesn't wear too much makeup, but she wears enough makeup to make her look. She's got an attitude, but not too much of an attitude, you know. She doesn't have a bitch attitude. She's just got a real like a mean, you know. Yeah, she's good, and she probably deserves to hold the belt at least once in her career, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think so. I good solid performer. That thing that she's doing now, when they changed her entrance with. Feel the glow, and they do all the, you know, the black lighting and her dancing. She's an excellent dancer. The crowd really gets into that.
She's very athletic.
Oh, extremely.
You know, extremely. I mean, some of the stuff she does and some of the ways that she moves is excellent.
Yeah.
So,
but she showed up on SmackDown with a brace on one of her knees. Now, I don't know if it's a work. I don't know if it's a shoot, but she said that she woke up after celebrating her win, as she woke up with, you know, the next morning and her knee was swollen and she was in a lot of pain. So Alexa Bliss comes out on SmackDown and challenges to her match this next Tuesday. So, you know, they are doing WrestleMania in Naomi's hometown.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the pay-per-view, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
So if you remember back last year, there was that shooting at that club back in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Pulse
I think like 50 people were killed, or I don't know the number right
off. It was over 80.
It was just such a tragedy. Well, that was a club that Naomi used to go to, and her family and friends.
Oh, really?
And on one of the episodes of Total Divas, she goes back into town, and she goes to pay her respects. And you can see this real emotion come over her. And she did a fundraiser for the survivors and for the families. And I thought showed the kind of person she is. That was a very powerful episode. You know, and I always say I'm not a huge fan of the Divas shows, but when they show the humanity, they show what they really are about. You can tell that Naomi is just really a good person on top of everything else, being very talented. So we'll have to see if she makes it all the way to WrestleMania, but I think she will. At least she'll have a match at WrestleMania. I guarantee that. So
that'd be good. Good for her. She deserves a WrestleMania moment, doesn't she?
Yeah. Now, Elimination Chamber.
I've got
to say this. I called it, man. I called
you
it.
You did. And I knew that you called it. I should have agreed with you, but I just want the Miz right now, okay?
But did you notice how good a job when the Miz was in that pod the whole time? They'd take a camera to him and he looked so concerned, like, man, I got to get in here and get beat up, you know? And then he picked his spot when he got Dean Ambrose out after Baron Corbin attacked after he was eliminated. I thought it was, as Michael Cole would say, vintage Miz. I love that. That part.
Well, a lot of good. You know, and I got to go back to AJ Styles, man. I sound like a damn broken record, don't I? That guy is the best right now, and he brings out the best in everybody that he is in the ring with.
Styles and Cena climbed up the side of the wall, and they were fighting, hanging on to the chains, and that was a great high spot. And then Styles and Ambrose on top of one of the pods.
See
that
the
was
one
just
when Cena climbed the side of the cage and climbed up on the pod and did that flying dive bomb. That was good. That was good to see him do a high spot. Like I said,
he's worked really hard at his craft, but he's been doing it for so long, and that's you know, it's always. Yeah, and I can't stand You Can't See Me, you know. I know I'm an old man. It just doesn't make any sense, and I don't like the AA. Now, the STF, I like that finishing maneuver he has, but that AA, I don't get it.
I was kind of bummed. It didn't seem to me like Dean Ambrose was really in his element that night. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I thought his when he was against AJ, when they were fighting on top of the pod, they were just standing there. I thought he did well, and then there was one of the spots where he climbed up on top and he jumped out. I think they were just going to use that match to set up him and Baron Corbin for a feud now, and they're really trying to push Corbin. And
yeah, what do you think about him?
I like Baron Corbin. I'm not sure he's quite ready for the push that he's getting. They see something in him, and I don't know what it is yet. So he's getting a pretty big push right now. And then he attacked again Dean Ambrose on SmackDown when Ambrose was supposed to go up against the man with no chin, who is now somehow connected to Carmella. And I can't figure that. I can't figure out what they're doing with that one.
I don't understand that one either. It's like, I guess it's okay for some comic relief. You got to still have a little bit of mixture of story in there. So
yeah, that's probably it.
Who walks away with the win?
Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, and boy, he was. I mean, between Wyatt, AJ, and Cena, they were on top of the game as the final three.
Mm-hmm.
I loved everything that they were doing. It was just fun to watch them go at it. So,
yeah, I was glad that I was so surprised that John Cena got eliminated before AJ Styles. I was like, no way, I never thought in a million years that John Cena would take the fall. I thought that he would be the last man standing until, you know, the very last second, you know, because he's got to hold on for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
But good for him. Maybe like you said, maybe he's trying to kind of taper off a little bit and step out of the limelight a little. John Cena as the person and all that, all the charity work and stuff, you got to respect the HE double hockey sticks out of the guy. And the years and the dedication that he's put into the business, you know, all the year, all the time on the road, you know, you respect him for everything like that, but it's just, the gimmick's getting old, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just getting old. The Mr. America, I love him, yeah. And I still cheer for him. I mean, I have his entrance theme as my freaking ringtone, so I guess I shouldn't complain too much about him.
Yeah, but, you know, then they had a triple threat match on SmackDown with all three of them again, and they were killing it on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Just killing it.
What did you think of the twist on SmackDown of Randy Orton saying he won't face Bray Wyatt?
Well, that was the only thing I didn't call yet, and I'm not sure whether that's still going to hold up.
Yeah.
I would imagine
there's going to be some sort of Shane or somebody will come out and say they have to do it, or totally off. Maybe it's not quite off subject. If Randy Orton is going to be a member of the Wyatt family, he needs to put on some damn pants. put on a pair of Dickies or something, you know? Try something different. I don't know. Still have the sleeveless hoodie. That's kind of backwoods like the Wyatts are, you know? But get rid of the wrestling boots. Put on some ogre boots or some dirty sneakers and a pair of torn-up Levi's, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to be doing with this storyline between Wyatt and Orton all the way up to Mania. There's got to be something else that they have planned.
Thing to Mania, I mean, we're, what, a month away? So, back to Raw. We had our Valentine's Day special with the celebration of friendship. Chris Jericho and
that was great, wasn't it?
Segment. What a great segment, dude! That was the best segment of the night, and probably of the fetching year for them, year and a half. I didn't see it coming, dude. But I love that when he gave him the news.
I can't say I didn't see it coming, but I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I love that when he gave him the new list, and it had Kevin Owens on it instead of Chris Jericho, and he looks at the back of the clipboard, and he's like, what is this, you know, and then he just beats the heck out of him.
Threw him into that TV screen,
yeah.
And I didn't see any kind of cut or anything, but I did notice the officials had a towel over Jericho's head.
I don't know
if it was part of the, yeah, and then, because, you know, that was glass he ran into. I don't know if it was breakaway glass. But.
Did you love the painting of the Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens?
Kevin says,
pretty hard.
You're not wearing pants. What am I supposed to tell my kids?
Oh, that was pretty funny.
I've liked this storyline, I think more than you, with the best friends with Jericho. It's been physical. They've been cheated, but
yeah.
I just think it's been kind of fun. I mean,
it has been kind of. It's good. I figured that they wouldn't let Kevin Owens go down a comedic path for too long. You know,
right?
Remember, I think was it the last pod or two pods ago? I said I was a little. I wanted to see him back as his just bad guy. You know, just a a-hole.
Well, I think you got it now.
I hope so. So do you think we'll have Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens for the championship? I wouldn't mind seeing Chris hold the belt again.
I think that's very, very possible. It's going to be interesting to see how Jericho, how they're going to write Jericho into the next few weeks. But I think some of his work has just been incredible.
I love that. I love the list. The list is hilarious, dude. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
It brings
hilarious.
Me back to his WCW days when he used to just work the crowd. You know, oh, man, the WCW, you know, remember when he used to say WCW Monday, what was it?
Monday Night Jericho?
And then when he went to Raw, it was Raw is Jericho. Because remember when it was Raw is War? And he did Raw as Jericho. But yeah, I used to do WCW Monday Night Jericho. Welcome to WCW Monday Night Jericho. And all the crowd would boo him. And had his beautiful, luscious, long, blonde hair. Well, he used to be a small guy, and he sure tucked on some serious protein, didn't he?
Well, you know, he's been doing that DDP yoga.
He doesn't even work out anymore. He says he just does push-ups and DDP yoga.
I mean, if you listen to Jericho's podcast, and it's a very good podcast, by the way. I mean, you know, he's a pro. We're just amateurs, just fans. But he advertises it. Boy, he sings DDP yoga's fame. He just really says that is just an awesome program.
You know, I've got DDP yoga if you ever want it.
Hey, I'll look at it. Yeah, well, cool.
It's hard. It's hard, man. It's way hard. It gets your butt.
Well, who knows what's going to happen if I start doing yoga? This week, I sent you an email. Remember this email I sent you with the stand-up comedian name?
Oh, my gosh.
Devin Stoller, I think, is his name. It's a stand-up comedian, and I found this about professional wrestling and jobbers. Should we take a break real quick and listen to this?
Yeah, you gotta hear this. This is the funniest thing I have heard.
Okay, that ends section one of this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. We'll start things up with that stand-up comedian next. Go to section two on Turnbuckle Trash.